Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 11, take two of the Ankeny Fanatic Rodcast, sponsored by Rod Brand of Shelter Insurance. As some of you may know, we recorded a Rodcast last week, but we went too long. We weren't able to post it, but we thought that was okay. We just decided to do another one, and we're going to recap a fun weekend rather than preview it. We had quite the weekend here in Des Moines with March Madness. I know all three of us got a chance to experience most or all of it, and well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Rod, you survived the weekend okay?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you gotta give Iowa credit, because when they host something, we show up. I mean, I was telling my son, you know, he was too young to remember it, but when we had the senior open, and it was at Des Moines Golf, and people, the seniors said, "We've never seen anything like it in my life," the galleries and stuff. And once again, you know, the people sitting next to me from Texas, and I had people from Kansas, and they were saying, you know, you guys are just, this is such a great place to come. And even the lady from Texas, I said, they were older, and they said, yeah, we got in, and we went to and had a great steak at 801. I said, well, that's probably one of the nicest, more expensive places. She said, it was fantastic. But she goes, actually, it's been so warm where we're at, we actually enjoyed this weather. And then it snowed, you know, right, at night, and they thought it was pretty neat.
Well, yeah. How about this weather today? It's too bad it wasn't like this that night. We had to walk back to my car, huh?
Yeah. it was uphill like 3 miles. I had to get my gripping shoes on. But no, it was nice because Dan was kind enough to Uber us home, because I didn't have a car there. So I really can't complain about the walk, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
No.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. I got a couple stories I'm going to tell, and then I'm going to hand my headset off to Tony, since we don't have the three headsets going tonight. But it was quite a weekend. Tony and I went to the games on Thursday night. They weren't competitive games, but we saw some high-quality basketball between Texas and Penn State, so I don't think he was too disappointed. I'll let him talk more about Thursday night. But Friday, Rod, you and I were at Cabaret to watch Iowa State, and certainly don't need to dive into that game, because that was just brutal. So then I go over to McGee's to get a little bit of the St. Patrick's Day festivities. I went over there to meet Tony and his lovely wife, Jana, and just going to have a beer and then maybe go home and watch the Drake game. So, but I hadn't been there but 2 minutes, and Tony's going to go up and get a beer. So he asked me what I want. So I said, "Hey, Tony, give me a Hoegaarden beer." And he didn't know what I was talking about. So I said, "Give me a Hoegaarden beer. It's their Irish version of the wheat beer." So this girl happened to be walking by at the time, and she gives me this dirty look, and I didn't know who it was. I didn't know what that was all about. And Tony gets me the beer, and then I look over, and this gal and her husband are both giving me dirty looks. And I'm like, you know, what the heck? You know, what's going on here? So the guy comes over to me, and he says, you know, "Hey, did you call my wife a hoe?" So I was like, no. So I just smooth things out with them.
Did he laugh then?
You know, kind of the vibe I got from him was that it wasn't so much that he just wanted to come over and kick my ass. It was more like, okay, I got to come over here and defend my wife. She thinks somebody called her a hoe. I'm not sure why, but
Actually called her a garden.
Well, maybe she has an empty garden.
So yeah, that was interesting. So yeah, then I just went home and watched the Drake game. You know, that was disappointing too.
And
then
I thought they had it too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So Saturday I went to the games with my friend Ed. We saw two great games. It's always fun to see, you know, Kansas get beat. We had a bunch of Kansas fans around that and around us, and you know, they were nice enough. But yeah, it's never a bad day when they lose. So the interesting thing that happened there was I go out to use the restroom, and I could have sworn, Tony, when we were at the games on Thursday, I thought the restroom was right around the corner to our right. And I think I even went in there once on Thursday, and even noticed that, you know, hey, there's no urinals in here, but I didn't see any women. And so I go in there on Saturday. I go into one of the stalls. You know, I'm just standing up doing my business. And I started hearing some women's voices. I'm like, what's going on? You know, then it hit me. It's like, I'm in the women's restroom. So I come out. There just happened to be two women, you know, standing there looking to see if anybody's coming out. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. I'm an idiot.
that's easy to do, man. I tell you. Yeah, but it was like that. I mean, you know, I've been down to Wells Fargo so many times for concerts, and, you know, you're there for a country concert, and it's like the women's restroom line is about to the Ruan Center, and, you know, we can get in and out in no time at all. And, you know, it was kind of like being at a, I don't know, monster truck show this weekend or something. I mean, jeepers creepers, there was you know, I guess, you know, I, as one of my friends said, it was kind of a sausage fest. There was a lot of, it was very male dominated. What, probably 8-1?
Yeah, I'd be my guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we had, you know, had a great time. Took my future brother-in-law went with me on Thursday. And then a guy that was in your all Ankeny team, Ted Leverins, went with me on Saturday. Ted had never been to one in his whole life. He said, this was so cool. I said, and it, you know, and I happened to wear, I've got a really nice Nike pullover that I had gotten in Arkansas when Paul Rhodes was there. And, you know, I don't have quite the collection of clothes that Tony has, but I'm not going to, but I liked it. I really like how it looks. I like the white on it. And all these people were high-fiving me like I'm some huge Arkansas fan and doing the pig step call with me and stuff. It was a hoot. And, you know, all these Kansas people, I got to give it to you. Man, you guys play good. I go, yeah, we really bring it, man. He goes, I said, you guys ever heard of JJ's? They go, yeah. I says, well, you can find me there. What's your name? I said, my name's Dean. I told people my name was Dean. I got my own one up in Rogers, my own spot.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's, Dean's my college roommate. So that was, took some pictures and sent it to him. He thought that was pretty fun. But were those great games?
Oh, they were, yeah, yeah. I would have enjoyed wearing an Arkansas pullover that day, too, just with all the Kansas fans around me. I told my friend Ed when Arkansas took the lead late and they looked like they were going to win and they were doing the pig suey chant. Yeah. I said, might be time for us to start doing this.
Yeah. So. How about their coach?
Oh, that was nuts, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, he rips his shirt off and leads him in their pig call or whatever. Tony can probably do the call pretty well.
Not good.
Yeah, it's really not a very good thing. And you know, it's for, since this isn't on video, those of you that can't see it, Tony really right now got his haircut recently, kind of looks good, and he's got this beard now because No Shave November goes into, I guess, March Madness. But he really, if I pulled up a Glen Campbell album cover, he's kind of looks like Glen Campbell back in about the 80s.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, little Glen Campbell, man. Yeah, he's like a rhinestone cowboy here, by the way. But, hey, before we flip it to Tony, because this is what I was going to ask you, what did you think about the six pools that came out today for high school football?
Oh, it was interesting. I know there's some different components to that. One of them is they do the teams in tiers. They rank them by how good they are. So there's like a tier one team in each pool.
Yeah.
So I think that's why Ankeny got slotted with where they did, because obviously if they just did it geographically, they wouldn't be in with, you know, five schools from Eastern Iowa.
Yeah.
So because that geographically, it doesn't make sense. They're going to play, you know, two home games and two road games against teams from Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. I mean,
and that's if they don't have to pick somebody else up, because I mean, people aren't just lining up to play us here.
Right.
I mean, they're not, you know.
Well, the other four games, I bet, will be, one will be against Centennial, because they do try to preserve some of those rivalries.
I think that will happen for sure.
So, and then, you know, maybe Dowling, Polk. So, I mean, the other games will all be around here. You know, they might pick up like a Sioux City or something. But
yeah, last year we ended up going to Cedar Falls. That's one we picked up. And Ankeny went.
Johnston and Waukee.
Yeah. Yeah, but they don't always, you know, a lot of these teams, and they adjusted it this year for the first time for,
yeah, the school lunch thing.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. What do they call it? Socioeconomic?
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. So there's only 36 teams in 5A now. I think maybe there was, what, like 40 before, so they must have dropped down a couple of them maybe.
Well, one was Des Moines North. I'm surprised they didn't drop to 3A. You know, or some of those schools. You know, I don't know if Hoover, did they... Were they?
I don't think they're in 5A now. So.
No. But that, you know, just from a logistical standpoint, I'm thinking, boy, that's two road games right there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, before I hand off my headset, I just got one other quick story I'm going to tell from yesterday. I just stayed home yesterday, watched all the games at home, saw some good games. I don't know if you guys happened to see the Gonzaga-TCU game. Did you guys stay awake for the whole thing? And
by the way, are we going to talk about a bad beat? Is that going to get thrown out here?
We are. I know we don't normally talk a lot about gambling, but this was just so incredible. I mean, it was an all-timer. And for me, it was not good. It was a bad beat. So, yeah, I needed Gonzaga to cover for the parlay. So you saw what happened there at the end?
Oh, I saw the whole thing, and I thought, well, that's a bad beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or for people that had the other side, it was a great win. But what I thought was interesting was, of course, when the guy makes the shot, you heard a loud roar from the crowd. So obviously the people in the crowd knew what was going on. And then he goes like this, like he's won the game or something. Yeah. I mean, I think he knew what he had done. Did you see it, Tone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three-pointer.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I take it the line was gone there, but 3.5?
It was 4.5. So a 2 would have covered 2, but they have 0.7 seconds. You're thinking, well, there's no way they can score from there. I still don't know how that happened. I still question the clock operator, because can you pick up the ball? And it was a pretty well-formed shot. It wasn't just like a heave. So it's, can you pick up the ball and shoot it in 0.7 seconds? I don't know that you can.
I don't know, but when we had the shot clock back in 1978 in Blaine Jones' driveway, Tony, with his cast, was always able to get one off.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. 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 I don't know how many times we ripped their gutters off, too, because they got ripped off a few times. Yeah. Well, that was, what was that about? It wasn't even a 9-foot hoop, was it? No. I still couldn't dunk on it, though, but Tony couldn't in his cast, so he was kind of the castaway of the bunch that year.
Well, anyway, my job tonight is to watch the clock. I'll maybe do a better job than that guy did, so I'm going to watch the clock. So I'm going to hand off my headsets to Tony, and I'll let you guys talk some more about the weekend.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, Dan, and of course, Rod, the almighty Rodcast.
It's always good to see you. Hey, since we're talking basketball, since we're here, I don't think we talked about the All-State team. And I saw that... we had an Ankeny Centennial kid made first team All-State this year, which that's just a heck of accomplishment. The Winkle kid, his dad's the golf coach at Grandview. Sanford was player of the year from Waukee Northwest. And then my good buddy Justin Calderman's son, Cade, made first team All-State, as did Omaha Ballou. And then another kid that coached my son, his name's Cheyenne Thomas, he played for Bob Fontana at Kennedy, and his son, Kenzie, made first-team All-State this year. So it's pretty neat. In the 4A, I knew several kids that made first-team All-State, and that's quite an accomplishment. And I know first-team All-Conference was Ankeny's point guard, too.
Yep, Carson.
He had a great year. He's real nice player, you know. So I just thought I want to give those kids a shout out for, you know, making first team All State, because that's not real easy to do. And when you play in, quote, I think the best conference in the state.
Well, I think that showed at the tournament, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, boy, oh boy. Valley, they all sophomores. Well, they had one senior. He played real well, too. But, you know, one of the guys that's on my stat crew, Dennis Weeben, his son, I think, was second-team All-State, Curtis Stinson Jr., pretty good athletic parents there. You know, his aunt was a 1,000-point scorer, 1,000-point rebounder at Iowa State, and his dad was one of Iowa State's, you know, best players. And I think he wasn't he like the player of the year in, like, division, like, what do they call it, D3?
The G League or?
Whatever they are. He was the energy player of the year, you know.
Might have been D League or back then. Or
so that's
whatever it's called.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know. So what?
There'll be a power to be reckoned with the next 2 years.
Oh, man.
You think?
Yeah, unless we get in the transfer portal up here in Ankeny.
Yeah.
You know.
You never know.
I mean, you got to do it. And, you know, we touched on the last one, but Tony tonight, just, you know, because he wants to make me feel good, he's sporting a Elton John Solo T-shirt. It's got to be about from, I'm going to say, 19, 20 years ago, Carver Hawkeye Arena. He played there. We went over and saw it.
Oh, it's longer than that.
Is it?
Where? Let me turn around.
What's it say in the back of it there? Doesn't say. Okay. Doesn't say. It just got the dates. But he looks fairly young in that photo on the front.
I'd say it was in the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably Yeah, you're probably right. But the last game he had, speaking of me wearing Arkansas stuff, Tony was sporting some new Boston College wear.
Yes, I was.
Well, why all of a sudden did you become a Steve Miller fan where you want to fly like an eagle, man?
Well, that's because my brother's coaching there at outside linebackers. He's obviously coaching now because I don't hear from him much.
Yeah.
Like I used to. So he must be busy. Kids are back from spring break, and
yeah,
he's doing outside linebackers and getting after it.
That's cool. It's cool. So in his career, has he ever? I know he's been a coordinator for a number of years at Pitt and at Auburn, and at UCLA. Was he the defensive coordinator at UCLA?
No, at Arizona.
At Arizona. So he's been a coordinator three times. Has he ever specifically just coached linebackers?
Yes, at Iowa State.
Okay.
As an assistant. First year here under McCarney.
Yeah.
I believe it was. And there might have been a net. I don't know about Arkansas, whether that first year. Can't remember for sure, but what his position group was.
Yeah.
I think it was secondary, but yeah. He's done a little bit of that.
He's coached some good ones over the years.
Yeah.
I know he just had one of his favorite players and probably the best player ever coached just go in the Hall of Fame as a first balloter, and his name would be
Darrell Revis.
Yeah. He's so good, they named an island after him.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. So what was your take of Des Moines and March Madness?
Yeah, I got something I got to get off my chest on that. Dan knows what it is. I'm these coaches that stand on the court 5 to 7 feet out sometimes for no reason. Things but like that bugged me. So, Buzz Peterson, right, Dan? On who's A&M coach?
Oh, Buzz Williams.
Buzz, who's Buzz Peterson? Anyway,
I think he's an astronaut. Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
The Penn State coach whose name escapes me. I really think it came down to because Buzz was doing it at Penn State. Because I didn't see on TV anyway the Penn State coach doing that during the
I didn't notice it.
The Penn State Texas game. And I was wondering if he's going to stand out there, I'm going to stand out there. But I told Dan, if I was playing, I'd just go down there and run into the guy on purpose, and they'd have to call technical, I would think. I mean, the guy. They're on the court, and then they're on there, and then they're pointing. And one time I saw the ref run into the guy's arm, and the ref looked back, went like this, and I'm motioning backwards for those of you at home. And the Penn State coach looks down, and he's behind. He's like, he's got his feet on the line, and he's reaching out. Well, that's in the field of play, so to speak, and he's acting like he didn't do anything wrong. Well, referees have a job. They got enough of a tough job as it is without having guys get in their way and whatever. Anyway, all right, I'm done with that little tangent that no one else cares about. But that's one of my takeaways. That's how boring my games were. I saw A&M, and I was really expecting that to be a good game.
Yeah, I did too.
And that was a big disappointment. Penn State played about as well as they could play,
yeah,
I would think, that during that game. And then Texas was just too good for them, but and then they didn't shoot near as well. But
no,
then Texas Colgate game. I mean, Colgate made a couple mini runs to get it 9 or 11 or whatever, but could never get it down.
Boy, Texas, they're big down low, aren't they?
Yeah, and they got a good, nice 3-guard rotation there. They're tough.
Wow, Belmont's. Evan Braun expected to transfer to Iowa.
He's an Iowa City West guy who played with Patrick McCaffrey in high school.
Wow. Well, good. We got to get in the portal, man.
Where does he currently play?
Belmont.
Oh, he plays at Belmont, so he played in the Missouri Valley. I got you.
Oh, I thought it was up by Kanawha,
so,
Belmont.
So what's the kid's name, Dan, so I can put it on the...
Evan Braun.
It will no longer be breaking news by the time anyone hears this, but Evan Braun...
Bronze, like something you
bronze,
don't get.
Bronze, like and a medal?
Yeah.
Evan Bronze transferring to Iowa. 6 what, Dan?
6'9".
6'9". Is that what we really need?
I don't know. We need depth everywhere there is at Iowa, and all the teams need.
Yeah, you know, I'm not here to rip on Iowa, but it's Dan said it. We're in a group text, 10 of us. It's our boy band, and we're not playing at the state fair this year. That's another boy band. But anyway,
opening.
Yeah, we're opening for it. We got Todd Stills on percussion. But no, seriously, I just completely lost my train of thought. Yeah, you know, I mean, 95 different teams have made the Sweet 16 since Iowa. You got to realize some of these teams have made it a ton. So that's 95 different teams. And, you know, obviously last night, I mean, I was rooting for Farley Dickinson, and I've actually heard of him. But I sent this out too. The coach from Farley Dickinson is from Truro, Iowa. His dad was the coach there, and he went to school with one of my wife's friends. And then another friend of mine, Tracy Rommel, she used to babysit him. And, you know, so we were talking, looking at it. We had three Iowa-born and played high school sports in Iowa coaching in the NCAA tournament this year. Because we had Greg McDermott, and we had the gentleman from Farley Dickinson, and we have DeVries.
Yeah.
That's from Parkersburg or Applington. Three out of 64, that ain't bad.
And Greg's still going, Sweet 16.
Yeah.
One of the few I got right.
Yeah. Who's still going?
Creighton,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Coach McDermott, yeah.
He's done a great job there. Plus, he's just a real good guy. But, you know, if you're from Iowa, you know, you usually are a pretty good guy. You're pretty humble, and you get after it. And, you know, you don't usually see an Iowa coach wear a different colored shirt than his assistants either.
I'm not taking the bait.
Yeah.
You talking about Shaka Smart?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'll take the bait. That kind of bothered me. You know, things like that, I don't know what is wrong with me, but why do you have your whole staff in one color?
I know, I mean, this, but you know,
he's a look at me guy.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yes, he is.
I know he is. You know, but Tony, you also, there's certain things I don't like. I don't like guys that have their hats on funny in baseball. You don't like guys that don't have their shirts buttoned up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they're on the red. No,
yeah. Yeah, the only reason they can't button them up the reds is they don't give them shirts that fit anymore because they're so cheap there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but no, I thought it was, I just was so impressed with how Des Moines ran it. And, you know, it's neat. But I'm telling you, man, I wonder how much money that the county gets, because Global Spectrum runs it. They do the concessions, and then they get a percentage of it. Someone told me that they think that each beer, the county gets about $2.50 on each beer. Well, I mean, but two beers with tip cost me about $30. So they weren't exactly giving beers away there.
No.
No.
No. We had a couple to make sure.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't going down good for me that night for whatever reason.
No,
I don't know. It was the games were kind of lackluster and whatever. I worked all day. I was tired, but
I'm gonna tell you, I went to four games and
you had to be beat.
And I didn't drink a lot either, but I'm telling you, it was tiring. But you know, this is my observation that I saw, and I saw something at the game that I thought was really cool. And then I saw it yesterday when I went over to Iowa City. So, I mean, I got a lot of basketball this week. I watched the Hawks yesterday, the girls play. So, you know, I was not one of us in this room in the broadcast know anything about marching bands. We just don't. But we like them at games. We like them when they stay. We don't like them when they leave at halftime. And you know, my daughter danced at Iowa State and loved the Iowa State band, which was right behind the dancers on that north end. They just, I mean, that band rocks. The Iowa band's fantastic. But what was really cool is watching the different bands there. Penn State, their entire band, maybe other teams do it too, but I'd never noticed it. their entire band, every instrument was silver. And they were really neat looking too. I noticed it, you know, because they, is there any silver in their unit? I know they're just the blue and white, but do they have silver in their?
I don't know.
But their whole band was like it. And then the other thing I noticed yesterday in Iowa City, when their band was playing, and for you, those of you who are really good musically with band stuff, I don't know what it's called, but when we grew up and people were in the band, then they would play in the marching band, they would have their instrument and they'd have that little clip-on thing at the end with the notes or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what, is that called a fret? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Anybody know here?
What?
Fret, maybe?
I don't know.
It sounds like it could be.
Frick, maybe it's a frick or a frack.
Maybe it's a fret noise. It was going to be at our party on the 26th if you want to show up, because all 12 of you listening.
King of the Segway, bro.
But anyway, you know, they always had the music in front of them.
Yeah.
Now they've got clips with their iPhones.
Oh, yeah?
And I saw it when they zoomed in on the band. And I said, well, that's pretty neat, because I suppose they've got it where it moves along with their stuff, and they've got it there. Anybody ever noticed the clip on an instrument with an iPhone?
No, but I'm feeling a lot better about my coaching guys on the court story now, because we just have our own little world, don't we?
Well, yeah, but you know, at least I'm appreciating.
No, you're watching. Theirs were three or four deep, I remember. I mean, they had a bigger band than A&M did.
Yeah, they were.
They were into it.
They were good. And I'll tell you, I love it when they get fired up. And they had the practice on Wednesday. And so I talked to people that went down to it. And you could get in free and stuff there. Ted Leverance.
Who'd you talk to? Marty Terrell down there?
I didn't see him. I talked to Ted Leverance.
Okay.
And Ted took his grandkids down. And got him programs and stuff. And Ted says, geez, I didn't even have a beer, and I still spent $84, you know. And but he said what was really neat is when Texas came out, the team came out, their entire band came out, their cheer squad came out, and they were giving stuff to all the kids. And then Ted said they did something that he'd never seen. He said they actually ran drills where the other teams just stretched and shot around. They actually ran drills and stuff, and Ted goes, I thought that was really cool. So that was, you know, the observation of that. But that's kind of a neat deal that they don't charge. So people that want to get up close and personal with an NCAA experience can go down there on Wednesday.
Right.
And watch, you know, you can watch 18 practice.
During spring break where a lot of people are off.
Yeah.
Bring their kids off.
That's a neat deal.
That's a great thing.
Beers weren't half price that day.
They weren't?
I was told that. It's kind of like Taylor Stadium. You know, you get in for about nothing, and then you order beer, and you think, gosh, am I in Chicago?
Yeah, and you dated yourself with that right there. Taylor Stadium. It's
Principal Park.
There we go.
Taylor Field.
Is it still Taylor something?
I don't know.
But anyway, I knew what you meant. I didn't know anybody 30 or younger did.
Yeah, well, I talked to somebody the other day that was on an elevator, and they were going to listen to REO Speedwagon. They were talking about it. They must have been around in the Midwest here just this weekend, and somebody had posted that these kids had never heard of them. And they said, man, and they said basically, I can't believe how bad their parents raised them. They didn't even know what good music is.
That's right.
But it was a great weekend. And now, you know, we've got, you know, some more. We get the Sweet 16, the Final Four, and then we've got one of my favorite sporting events ever. And I'll be honest, I'll stay home and watch it about the whole thing. I love watching the Masters.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite golf tournament to watch.
I'll watch a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty new, and I always root for the Americans in it, too.
How are you, tell about your experience at the women's game.
Oh, it was neat. We had good seats. My wife got them through her work, and we went there. And gosh, it was, you know, it was loud. I mean, you know,
it sounded loud.
You know, and I always thought Carver was like kind of cookie cutterish compared to like, I've been to so many things in Hilton because it's close and my daughter dancer and I would go to games, and I've been to a lot of girls games up there because at girls games, you can get a lot closer to where the dancers and stuff are and, you know, get photos of your children. But at, it was loud. Yeah. And they've redone all that. Have you been in there, Tony?
Not in the last few years.
They've really it really looks nice, and they've really done a great job with their, with the scoreboard in the middle with their big jumbotrons where they've gone around it and stuff. It's they've got really obviously the screens were so good I could see the band people in them. That's where I noticed it, because they were completely opposite from me. We had the Georgia band down in front of us. Oh, yeah. So where the two flagrants were, that was completely opposite from us. Yeah. But it was like, and I'll be honest, I don't think Iowa played that good.
No, Georgia played. They were sticky on defense.
Well, they rebound too, and that diamond.
They're forever.
Yeah. Well, I kept calling her Diamond Girl. She sure does shine, but no one around me picked up on that. It's a little seals and cross for you.
Did Kathy pick up?
Not really. I don't think so either. But there were some people behind us, and kind of a nice looking tall girl came in, and she had a really cool jacket on, I noticed, and it was an Iowa Letterman's jacket. And I thought, well, gosh, I wonder if she played at Iowa. And we were just minding our own business, like watching it. It was Kathy, myself, my son, and the girls behind us. I didn't know it was the girl with the Iowa jacket I saw earlier. Said, wouldn't it be great if they had an app where you could like do like Uber Eats, where they can bring you your beers and stuff and your ice cream cones to your seat at games? I said, and I started laughing, and then we turned around and they said, well, hi, Kathy. And my wife worked with them. And then the dad, I can't remember, he came in and he had the seat next to me, and it was his letter jacket. She said, well, I can wear my dad's, he'll be here in a minute. And he graduated from the University of Iowa in 1986.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he ran track there. He was a high jumper. Last name was Cunningham. And the girls ended up playing soccer for Valley with Scott Helverson's kids.
Little Richie?
It wasn't Richie Cunningham. He was pretty tall. He looked like he's probably about 6'7", but he was a high jumper, so he's pretty, yeah, real nice guy. So that was, the girls' game was neat. And you know what's amazing? I was trying to worry about how we were going to park. We kind of parked across the street and down from Carver. Guess what parking cost?
I don't know.
Free.
What a concept.
Free. Free parking. I was trying to find, I don't know where, I thought we're not going to find a place to park. Free, and it was great. It took us about 10 minutes to walk to there. Yeah, free parking.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and they, you know, they could have.
Were they charging anywhere, like right next to Carver?
Like maybe.
Did you notice?
I don't know if you could get, like right in front of it, there were some really nice cars that all had the fancy license plates with Iowa. So they're probably big donors. Maybe they've got something where they, you know, where they go. But after the game, coach came out and thanked everybody for coming, and he said how great it was, you know, the support they got. And she said, just in case you wondered, season tickets for next year just went on sale. Yeah, that's how she ended with that, Lisa Blitter. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they'll have quite a few girls back again, right?
Yeah, they'll be good. I think one girl is coming back that was getting like a fifth year or something. You know Dan?
Gabby Marshall? Or the
one with pretty eyes? The one with pretty eyes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Until somebody smacks them.
Yeah, pretty eyes. Yeah.
Here's a score update for you. The team that knocked out the Iowa State women, Toledo, is not going to advance, losing to Tennessee 81-46.
While they're getting killed.
Oh, they must have. That must have been their Super Bowl.
Wow.
I will say that Dan passed on that Tennessee is beating Toledo in women's basketball 81-46. So,
well, you know what? Toledo says, we're just going to volunteer to lose.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's from Toledo Rocket Man.
But we're not going to go over tonight. We're not going to make it a real long night. So we touched on the high school.
Oh, I want to get in one thing.
Deal.
You went into concessions. That's one thing they're saying they're worried about for baseball games now with the pitch count, that they're going to have to adjust and maybe have more people going up and down aisles. and selling things that way, which I, music to my ears, instead of going to the concessions because you're going to miss too much. People won't be wanting to go because they're afraid they're going to miss too much of the game. I don't know if that's how that will play out, whether people go to baseball games just to be outside. And it probably depends on how intense of a fan you are. But, I mean, plus the games are going to be quicker. So, you know, the more stuff you sell in the aisles that you don't sell because your games are a half hour shorter.
Yeah.
One of those unintended or outcomes, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure people were kind of smart enough.
Is there one left there?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Beer Man Beer. That's one of our favorite topics that we'd always say. I agree with you. I like going out.
Let me get that for you. There we go.
And, but no.
How much time we have left, Dan? 10 minutes.
We got 10 minutes left. So what? You know,
it's the broadcast. So.
But no, it's we managed. I was gonna not bring it up the last one, but I feel I've got to. You know, I'm a big diehard NFL fan. Cubs fan, you know, I like all sports, but I'm going to tell you, before I went to the tournament this week, I stayed in my bedroom for 3 days in the closet in the dark because I was worried about Aaron Rodgers. I just worried about the guy.
Has he been traded yet?
No. And I'm telling you, people ask me, so, Hot Rod, what team do you hate the most in the NFL? And I always say, without a doubt, the New York Jets. I hate them. People say, why do you hate them? They're just terrible. Because their fans are obnoxious. They come to Miami. They're rich New York snobs. And they're just jerks. So, I don't like them. But sure enough, I mean.
Are they worse than the Chief fans? That you...
Oh, the Chief fans are just. You know what they are? They're just not smart. They can't help it. They go to bowling alleys and live in mobile homes. And no, they can't help it. They're
you want
just
me
cheap.
To share your license plate right now?
Yeah.
For those Chief fans out there that might want
to. Yeah, it's Hot Rod 62. It's yeah. But no, I mean.
Your tires look overinflated.
Yeah, but no. I just wanted to go with the Jets because I didn't think I could dislike him anymore.
That'll be. Yeah. Yeah, we did talk about, I love Alan Lazard, so.
I do, too.
He'll be on the Jets. So.
I'm 99% certain I saw him at the tournament. I saw him talking to kids. So I know I was 99% positive when I went out towards...
Thursday or Saturday?
Thursday. Mm. I could have swore I saw Alan Lazard. And there's 44 million reasons to like him right now. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for... You know, and he was just a great kid from the CIML. I got to watch play... you know, high school basketball, played for Brad Bjork and Eric Irvindale, and was very good. So let's talk. Speaking of NFL, I mean, NFL draft, Riley Moss.
When's he going?
No later than 5. 5 at the latest. I'm hoping four. Maybe 3. He's had a really good offseason. So I'd like, you know, I mean, being a Dolphins fan, they've got the 52nd pick. I'd love to see Campbell drop to him. I don't know if he will. I want to see and they need a tight end bad. So Sam Laporta, I think, would be just a great pick because, I mean, let's face it. When's the last time an Iowa tight end absolutely stunk?
Yeah. Well, I can't. It's hard to remember that, but.
I mean, really. I mean, there's been tight ends that like.
Scott Chandler.
Yeah,
he had a serviceable.
But he didn't get. He got drafted late.
I know.
C.J. Fedorowicz played for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you just go on and on. I mean, if you
tight end, you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
So, will any Iowa player go in the first round?
They say that the one kid, what's his name, Vanden? What? You
Van Ness.
Yeah. They say he's like. I've heard like 15, 16.
I don't see it.
I don't either.
I read that too. That's what, I. Campbell sometimes is up there that high, which he's a player, but
I think Iowa State I think he's just a heck of a receiver, and where they got him in like the third round, don't they?
Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Their first guy will be the DN.
I know, but
I suppose that he's a first rounder, maybe. McDonald is it?
Okay, I'm gonna throw it out there because I don't know.
Never mind.
Was because Breece Hall didn't, even though I think he would have been Rookie of the Year last year, because he's a running back, he went in the second round, correct? When's, have they had a first-round NFL draft choice ever?
Was he very early in the second round, though? Was he the first? I don't know. Like he, yeah.
They've had some great second. I tell you, one of the best second-rounders ever came out of there was a 7-time Pro Bowler from Miami, and that was Keith Sims. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. And then maybe the best Viking, the cyclone of all time, played for your Vikings.
Matt Blair.
Whose son was in what?
Huh?
What was his son in that you would see him at? Wasn't his son in the Iowa State band?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, but we lost
I'm
Matt.
I'm not sure if it was his son or daughter, but yeah.
We lost Matt, didn't we?
5-minute warnings.
Okay, hey, we're going to make a little toast here. And for anybody that listens to the end of this, this goes to all the great coaches that the three of us grew up with. And this beer right here is for Bud Grant.
Love me some Bud Grant.
So
boom. That's toast.
The key word is Bud. This Bud's for you, buddy. See you guys.
Boom. Yeah, that.